This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
I asked a group of adults one time, tell me your most significant memory of college, those of you that went to college. And it was interesting, the differences of what people recalled, the people who were athletes, it didn't matter if they were male or female, if they were athletes, they would recall immediately a football game, a basketball game, a soccer game, a volleyball game, where some significant victory took place. We were going to lose, but we won. And they recounted those experiences. Others that were more perhaps into academics talked about a class that they were worried about failing or a final exam that was just unbelievably difficult. And so different things were important to different people. And I have a college memory that I don't even know why I remember this. But it evidently made a big impression on my life, and I want to share it with you today. It was at 2 a.m. I was living in the boys' dorm at the time. And I walked out into the hallway thinking that everyone must be asleep at 2 a.m. There was one door open on this long hallway and light coming out from that room into the hallway, spilling out into the dark hallway. So I walked down toward the light, looked in the room, and there one young man who lived in the room was asleep, but the other one was sitting with one of those bendable lamps over his desk, and he had a lot of paper spread out in front of him. So I walked in and said, what are you doing? You studying for a test, cramming for a final or something? And he said, no. He said, I've been working on the plan for my life. And he said, I literally have mapped out my life from here, from today, to the rest of my life. And he literally did have what he wanted to be doing in 10 years. And then he had 15 years, and then 20 years, and 25, and 30. And I was awestruck that somebody would plan out their life like that, because I was worried about what I was going to have for breakfast the next morning. You know, which button I would press on the vending machine for a bag of chips or a brownie for breakfast. That was my big concern at 2 a.m. And I mean that. That's all the farther I was looking ahead. And yet, not making fun of him at all, not mocking what he did, because I know he did it sincerely, I want to share this with you as lovingly as possible. Life didn't work out that way. He's dead. Died of a terminal illness at a young age. And life did not go the way he planned. And I'm not, again, mocking anything that he did, but it was a lesson to me. Maybe this is why I remember it. Is that we can make our plans. The Bible says that in Proverbs 16:9. But the Lord determines our steps, which is an interesting phrase. I make the plans, and God says, I'll determine the steps. And that may be a defining moment for somebody in this room to know that today. That we make our plans, and you may plan out your life, and you may be into plans and date books and calendars, and you plan out your life, but you have discovered, and you will discover if you haven't already, that life doesn't go according to the plan. Rarely does. Whether it's your family, whether it's your career, whether it's your education, things happen, both good and bad. Things happen, both positive and negative. Things happen, both joyous and tragic, because that's the nature of life. I'm convinced there are some verses that we learn as a child from our mom or dad. But then there are verses that we learn the hard way. There are verses we learn the hard way, and that's what we're going to study today, a passage where this is a verse that most of you have learned or will learn, including me, will learn it the hard way. Jeremiah says this, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not, underline the word not, it is not for man to direct his steps. Jeremiah says this, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not, underline the word not, it is not for man to direct his steps. And then from Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. I include that passage to say this. The biggest temptation in somebody's life in this room is to trust in yourself more than you trust in God Almighty. And there's a woman here today. The biggest temptation in your life is not to commit some dastardly sin and do something immoral. It's to trust in yourself more than you trust in the Lord. And maybe today, this day, that will change. Verse 23, I want to go back to Jeremiah 10:23. I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. May I tell you in plain English what that verse means? You're not in charge, and neither am I. You are not in charge of what happens in your life. And maybe there was a point in your life where you thought you were in charge of everything, and you were in charge of what happened, and you were the captain of your fate and the master of your destiny, but you come to a place in your life in your 30s or 40s or 50s or whenever, and you wake up to this reality of Jeremiah, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. There's been a professor at Cincinnati Christian University. His name is Dr. Bruce Smith. I knew him when he was a minister of a church in Richardson, Texas, in a Dallas suburb. Bruce Smith and his wife had a little boy, only one son, named Taylor, who was born with 8 to 10 major birth defects. I'm not talking about minor problems. These were major birth defects, significant problems. He was in the hospital for months when he was born, came home with all kinds of medical equipment, and Bruce would tell me that the baby's room looked like a hospital room. And I was so touched by this, what Bruce told me. He and I had lunch in Texas one time, and he said, Randy, there is many a Sunday when I get up to preach in the pulpit where I haven't had 1 minute of sleep all night on Saturday night. And I can't imagine that. I personally cannot imagine being up all Saturday night and then trying to get up and to cognitively think and get your thoughts together and to preach a message. But Bruce said, that was routine for me. He said, my wife and I were nurses 24-7 for this child. And it was several years, like 3 or 4 years, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, before somebody in the church who was an ICU nurse said, Bruce, I want you and your wife to go away this weekend. I'll take care of Taylor. And he said that was the first break they had in like 3 or 4 years. It was an unbelievable tour of duty that they had to go through with Taylor. And he would say that Taylor was their assignment from God, which was an interesting thought in itself. He said, Taylor was our assignment. God said, here's your assignment for your life. At lunch, I asked Bruce a question that I ask a lot of people because I'm interested. And I said, Bruce, if you don't mind my asking this question, what's the most important lesson that you've learned through your experience with Taylor? Bruce didn't think. He didn't pause. He didn't rub his chin for 2 minutes and say, let me think about that. When I said, Bruce, what's the most important lesson you've learned? He said that I'm not in control. That I am not in control of this thing called life, but God is. And he said, secondly, I've learned that God is sovereign, meaning God is God and I'm not. Well, we'll continue the sixth message from the Jeremiah Sermon Series tomorrow on CrossHope. I hope you know our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope. Now then, today, the third part of the message from Jeremiah 10:23, one verse that simply says this, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It's not for man to direct his steps. What would happen if you found out that verse is true? Let's continue the message today from the book of Jeremiah. God bless you.
I want to suggest to you today some thoughts about this verse, about my life is not our own. Proverbs 19:21 says this, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Think about that. Many are the plans in a man or woman's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. What does that mean? You can take your day timer and plan your life out, and you can get up at 2 a.m. and work on your plan for your life, but it's God's purpose that prevails. Have you ever used a phrase about somebody in your family? Don't raise your hand, but the phrase control freak. Has anyone ever called you a control freak? We all know what that means. A person who tries to manage everything and control everything. I'm going to say something that will surprise you. There's no room in the Bible for control freaks. There is no room in Scripture that I know of in the kingdom of God for control freaks, because there's only one who says I'm in charge, and that's the Lord God Almighty. And yet, here's what I want to say to you. I said it in the first two services. This may be the most religious moment for somebody today to come to the place where you recognize that verse 23 isn't just a verse out of the Bible. It happens to be a reality of your life, to recognize that you're not in control. It's not your own life. Your life is not your own. It's not for you to direct all your steps. But God's hand is above your hand in directing what happens in your life. Do you know what the alternative to believing that is? Despair, depression, anxiety of all kinds, if you ultimately really believe that you're in control. I know many of you have heard this before. You've read it. You probably have it in a book somewhere, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. When he was 7 years old, his family was forced out of their home on a legal technicality. He had to work to support his family. At age 9, his mother died. At 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. He wanted to go to law school, but his education wasn't good enough. At 23, he went into debt to become a partner in a small store. At 26, his partner died, leaving him a huge debt that took years to repay. At 28, after courting a girl for 4 years, he asked her to marry him. She said no. At 37, on his third try, he was elected to Congress, but 2 years later, he failed to be reelected. At 41, his 4-year-old son died. At 45, he ran for the Senate and lost. At 47, he failed as a vice presidential candidate. At 49, he ran for the Senate and lost. At 51, he was elected president of the United States. His name, of course, was Abraham Lincoln. Some people get all the breaks. Some people get all the breaks. Well, you see what I'm saying, is that God's hand still prevailed. Get this. Listen, this is really important. Over failure, rejection, disappointment, dejection, all the words you want to use, God's hand was still there guiding, I believe, his life. You say, what does that have to do with me? Rejection, disappointment, sadness, grief, all those things are in your life or will be in your life. And you've got to believe today that God's hand somehow is above your hand, and your life is not your own. It's not for you to have the final word on what happens in your life, but God is in control. Well, believe it or not, I have a feeling this is speaking to someone listening today, maybe you. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org. Robertson McQuilkin, for 22 years, was the president of Columbia Bible College and Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina. Some of you know where Columbia is. This is one of the most amazing stories I've ever read in my life. He said when he wrote this, it's been a decade since that day during a Florida vacation when Muriel, my wife, repeated to the couple we were visiting the story she had just told 5 minutes earlier. Funny, I thought, that never happened before, but then it started to happen more frequently. 3 years later, when Muriel was hospitalized for tests on her heart, a young doctor called me aside and said, Robertson, you may need to think of the possibility of Alzheimer's, he said. I was incredulous. These young doctors are so presumptuous and insensitive. Muriel was doing the same thing she's always done for the most part. But when her memory deteriorated further, we went to Joe Tabor, a neurologist friend, who gave her the full battery of tests, and through the process of elimination, confirmed that she had Alzheimer's. But because she had none of the physical deterioration symptoms, there was still some question. So we went to Duke University near Raleigh, North Carolina, to the medical center there to get another opinion. My heart sank as the doctor asked my wife, Muriel, Muriel, can you tell me the four Gospels? Can you tell me what they are, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John? And Muriel looked at her husband, Robertson, pleadingly, like, help me. And he knew. He knew that something was significantly wrong. Little did I know, he said, the day was coming when we would be urged on the average of once a week to pursue every variety of treatment, vitamins, exorcism, chemicals, this guru, that healer, this clinic. How could I even look into them all, let alone pursue them? I was grateful to friends who cared because their suggestions were expressions of love. But listen to this. Somebody may have come to church just to hear this sentence. But for us, we would trust the Lord to work a miracle in Muriel. But if he didn't, I ask God to work a miracle in me. As a college president, he lived in a house on the campus. Some of you remember those days in college where the college president lived on the campus. But the walk from the home to his office was a half a mile, so it was a mile round trip. He said it got to the place where Muriel was so anxious and anxiety-ridden when he was gone to work that as many as 10 times a day, she would walk barefooted to his office, a half a mile and a half mile back, just to be with him, and somebody would take her back home. And finally, they got to the place, obviously, where something had to be done about it. And he said there were times at night when he would help her get ready for bed, and her feet were bloody from walking the half mile 10 times that day to see him. When he told the family doctor about what she was doing, the family doctor choked up and said, "Such love, such love." And then after a moment, the doctor said this, "I have a theory that the characteristics developed across the years come out at times like these." What characteristics would come out of your life at a time like this? You are either living in submission to the will of God, or you're living as a slave to your own will. You are either living in submission to the will of God, and so am I, or we're living as a slave to our own will. Which is it? If you get to the place where you acknowledge, "I have been a slave to my own will," you will find out that it's a dead-end street. It's depressing. It's sad. It's anxiety-producing to be a slave to your own will. But there is a freedom, and there is a deliverance and a release that comes to a man or woman who says, Jeremiah 10:23 is true. "Lord, I know experientially," Jeremiah says. "I get it, that a man's life is not his own and it's not for him to direct his steps." How many of you remember a TV show that used to be on every Saturday, I think for 15 or 20 years on ABC, called ABC Wide World of Sports? Remember that with Jim McKay? I watched it regularly just to see the opening of the program. Didn't necessarily watch the program, but I always watched the opening. It's where the announcer would talk about the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And when the announcer said the agony of defeat, it showed a skier, Olympic skier, coming down a ski jump. And he just tumbles head over heels, hitting a supporting structure. And you just think, this must be awful. He survived with just a concussion. But here's what people don't know about that incident. He didn't fall because of his inexperience or lack of skill. He fell because as he was coming down the ski run, he realized that the surface was too slick and he was going too fast. And so, as I understand it, he was doing some things with his skis to slow himself down, going down that jump. But in the process of slowing himself down, he fell and tumbled off into the side railings of that structure. And here's the thought occurred to me. In order to stop himself from going a distance that would have been fatal, if he would have continued at that speed, he would have landed in an area that was too dangerous to land in. It was beyond the safety zone is what they call it, I think. So he had to make a decision. I've got to slow down and I've got to stop. I think you know where I'm going with this. There's somebody here listening to me today in all three services. There's something going on in your life, and there's a trajectory going on in your life. You're going in a direction that the most spiritual thing anyone could tell you to do would be this. Stop. Stop it right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, but there's something that needs to stop. There's something that needs to change. It could be an attitude of your spirit. It could be an attitude towards somebody in your family, an attitude toward one of the people you work with. I don't know what it is. It's none of my business what it is. But it's better to change course than to have something worse happen later on. Emotionally, something worse morally, something worse spiritually in your life. I think you know where I'm going with this, that there are times when the most spiritual thing a man or woman can do is stop what I'm doing and change course and go in another direction. It's called conversion. It's called coming to Christ. It's called coming to your senses It's called waking up and discovering what really matters in life and the spiritual reality that there is in life. This is a verse that I call a life changer. I don't necessarily think that every verse is that crucial, even though I believe it's an inspired word of God, and please don't misunderstand that comment. But there are verses that I share from time to time that I call life changers. Today was one of them. Meaning that if all you heard today was me read 23, verse 23 out of chapter 10, it could be a life-changing experience. I know, Lord, experientially, I know that a man's life is not his own, and it's not for him to direct his steps. For you to hear that, not only intellectually and audibly in your mind, but to hear it on the inside where you really live, can make all the difference in somebody's future. Decide to believe, verse 23, that I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart, as Proverbs says. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm not going to look at myself as the final authority on anything, but recognize that God is the final authority on everything. Well, I often use the phrase defining moment. I'd like to think that this message could be a defining moment in someone's life today, that your life will never be the same because of your recognition of Jeremiah 10:23 in your life. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.